who have been looking at kind of the economic development components of this project. Just so everybody knows, in case you're not familiar, kind of the limits of our study area really range from the river up to 11th Street and more or less one block in either direction. I've got a lot of information to throw at you here tonight, so I'm going to move through things fairly quickly. The idea is to get through it fairly quickly, so if there's any comments, questions, concerns, suggestions, we can hear those. And we're going to kind of tag team this one. The team's going to weigh in, and we're all going to present this together. So, from design and infrastructure standpoint, which is what I was looking at and Rundell Ernstberger Associates was looking at, we saw some liabilities and issues, I guess you would call them, when we came in here to Vincennes for the first time. One was Main Street's limited right-of-way. A lot of times we go into communities and they have a huge right-of-way, 100 feet or more. It's very narrow in downtown Vincennes, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. It's just something that is unique to this community. And it presents some challenges on how we suggest improvements for the community. We did notice that, you know, there's a lack of entertainment and recreation that attracts family and youth downtown. So we began to think about where are spaces that might accommodate some additional activity. There's maybe a lack of event programming or a lack of programmable spaces downtown, which kind of relates to that bullet I just mentioned. There's a low number of units, housing units downtown, kind of one of the markers of a successful or a thriving downtown is people living downtown. And ultimately, with the completion of this study and once you guys start implementing projects, the long-term goal is to get people living downtown. That's how we make this community thrive once again. We noticed, you know, the riverfront is really underutilized, and there's a lack of a connection to it, physically, visually. You wouldn't even necessarily know you were a river, or there was a river right there if you were a tourist who came in from 41, or you can't really see over that flood wall or over the couple of walls that are down there. There's a lack of community gateways, maybe, and this one really goes outside the community or the boundary that I had mentioned. But as you come into the community from the various major thoroughfares, there's not really a sense of arrival other than you've hit strip development. There's Walmart, there's McDonald's, there's gas stations. We know we're somewhere, but we don't necessarily know where we're at. And then there's a lack of developed biking and walking trails that connect the city's assets. And then we also noticed a lot of those same things, there can also be opportunities. But we noticed, you know, there's only a few vacant lots in downtown, at least between 6th and the river. And there's a well-preserved building stock, so that's definitely a good thing. The Main Street currently offers a number of amenities. You have litter receptacles, you have benches, you have nice lighting. The sidewalks are in good shape, so that's a great asset to have. Obviously, Vincennes has an extensive number of natural, cultural, and historical amenities, but how are they connected? And that's one thing we want to talk about here in a few minutes. We think the vacant lot, Gimbel's Corner, at the corner of 2nd and Main, is a huge opportunity as we begin to think about programmable space and where can we create some activity downtown. There is property along the riverfront that's underutilized. Maybe has a better opportunity or a better opportunity to serve a higher purpose. Also, the city-owned parking lot along Vigo Street is an opportunity. It is very important that we maintain that parking, but also it's a large piece of property that the city owns that is currently undeveloped. And then the upcoming riverfront trail development is a huge opportunity.
Good evening. I'm Pat Jacobs with the Architecture Trio, and as Cecil brought to your attention tonight, we spend a lot of our time focused on the historic buildings downtown. Sometimes we find that there's just a general lack of understanding or appreciation of the building stock and the appropriate ways to handle renovation of those buildings, and you do have some wonderful things in place. You've got a historic review board, and you also have a set of design guidelines in place that can direct people on how to do that. But how do we maximize that potential? One of the problems that we often see are boarded up storefronts. Now, the nice thing about Vincennes is we have very little at the ground level that has that vacancy appearance, but at the upper level, we see a lot of boarded or closed-in windows or undeveloped windows, so that gives a feeling of vacancy and also can give the illusion of lack of safety when you have that kind of vacancy. Lack of coordination between the existing preservation organizations and groups. One of the things that we wanted to begin to reinforce is how to pull those groups together so they're working on a common goal and a common outcome. incentives for incremental facade improvements. One of the things that's nice here in Vincennes is that you do have some programs that are available to you, but are they being maximized? What we're finding underutilized right now. People need to know about it, need to be educated on how to take advantage of those programs. Unkept residential and commercial lots that deface the charm of the district. That's just general maintenance of your property, and that's encouragement of your building owners to do that effort. One of the great things about your community is you have a downtown Main Street that represents the entire plethora of design and stylistic examples from very early mid-1800s all the way up to the present. And so you have a real rich downtown environment that gives you a beautiful palette to work from as you begin to develop and revitalize the downtown. You do have the design guidelines in place. We talked about that. It's a great starting place. A lot of people don't have any kind of program to develop like that, so you've already had a jump ahead there. You've got the existing funding pools that we talked about. Very cohesive stretch of buildings. You have very little vacancy or toothless streetscape that we sometimes talk about. You have a very cohesive streetscape, and that's great from the perspective. If someone's walking downtown, there's shops continuously along the way. The other thing that's, I think, a great advantage in downtown Vincennes is you've got key buildings along the way. An example is you've got an anchor store with a river, if you want to call it that. So that's an anchor destination point all the way to the resources of the theaters that you have on the, what I call the eastern end of the Main Street. So you've got these two wonderful anchor pieces that help draw people from one end of the Main Street to the other. Got a lot of available commercial storefronts for entrepreneurs that are looking for spaces. You've got a variety of spaces, some small, some large, so you can meet the market for those who are wanting to relocate downtown. I think one of the greatest things is you already have taken steps to pursue the MSRP, Main Street Revitalization Program grant that's being offered. So I'm going to turn back to Cecil. We're talking too quick. If there's anything that we're covering too quickly, slow us down a bit if we need to.
In terms of economic development, everybody knows that the community has had some decline, and many communities your size in Indiana, and you're certainly not alone there, have had a period of decline. Main Street is being asked to fill a bigger role than it's currently capable of handling, and it has to compete with the rest of the downtown and other businesses for desirable new business. Steering growth to specific Main Street sites has got to be one of our goals in this. Main Street doesn't have a large or even medium-sized hotel or meeting space, and there's a lack of shared vision and buy-in for Main Street. And you know, the thing is, when you're talking about economic development in downtowns, you want people to come downtown and spend money. So you would like to have people living in the downtown and living near the downtown. And preferably professionals, families, retirees, but people who have disposable income. And we'll just say that you have some assets other communities don't that make that very possible. You have a university community here, you have a regional hospital here, and you've had an energy company that just recently relocated here, and you have over 100,000 tourists that come in to see the historic park. So you have consumers coming, but they're not coming into the downtown. You have them here, you have people who could be living in the downtown who are here now in the community. What we want to do is make the community an attractive place to live. And we want to convince retailers and people who are engaged in entrepreneurship to come to the downtown. And it's always a chicken and the egg thing, a bit of a catch-22. Shop owners don't want to a shop somewhere unless there's people with disposable income, and people with disposable income don't want to come unless there's shops there. But you've got some people with disposable income here. There's a rationale for encouraging more entrepreneurship, so we're thinking about a co-working space that could be used here. It's a flexible space for people to meet, to exchange ideas, to get specific services. We're talking about streamlining zoning around an arts and education district, rebranding the community so that you can move forward. And we think that complements the historic character of the community and the reputation the community already has as kind of a cultural center by virtue of history. And we think a convention center that would be appropriate for this size community. You need to have somebody sort of figure out what the right size is given what the market potentialities are for this community, but you don't have a convention center. It would be great to have a place for people to meet. This would be a great community because you've got other things here that people could do when they came for their meetings. You've got museums, you've got historic homes, and you've got the park. So great assets, and frankly a community that we think has a lot of potential. But the downtown does need to turn around, and we think, frankly, it can. So we want to get people into downtown. We want to streamline the process so people can live there, get housing above retail establishments. We want to encourage entrepreneurship. We want to have some programs to specifically address that. And we think that we've laid out some achievable goals and objectives in this plan to help you do that.
So after we kind of spent a lot of time on the ground and coming in, really understanding the existing conditions within Vincennes, we started thinking about, okay, what are the proposed improvements? And when in the report that you guys are going to receive, there's very detailed proposed improvements. And then at the end of the report, we have what we call combining the elements section, which is where we've taken the economy, design infrastructure, and buildings, and we've tried to give you projects that you can pursue to help kickstart kind of the revitalization process in your downtown. And so this is a list of all of those projects, and I'm not going to read them all to you, but I just wanted to show you some graphics and hit on a few items here. We really looked at the downtown holistically and really beyond our project limits, looking at how we incorporate the river and the opportunities there, looking at Main Street and how we can encourage improvement there, looking at gateways into the downtown and how do we draw people from the major thoroughfares that kind of skirt the downtown but don't necessarily take you right through the historic area. And so one of the areas we spent a lot of focus on was the Main Street corridor. And within Main Street corridor, we have several projects. Two of those focus on your theaters. The Pantheon, we really think that there's an opportunity there for a shared co-working, training, and meeting space, as we'd already mentioned. And then the New Moon Theater. You know, and maybe it doesn't have an opportunity to be a theater again, maybe it does, but maybe it can be used as a brewery, a bar, an eatery, or some other type of business. One of the other things we spoke about in the Main Street corridor was the idea of developing this arts and entertainment district. There are specific guidelines that that define an arts and entertainment district, and those are outlined by the state, and I think there's 8 of them in the state right now. A couple of those are Carmel, Bloomington, Nashville, but we think that there's a lot of opportunity for Vincennes, and then how you can use that to really reinvigorate your downtown and recruit business, recruit people to live there. We think that the Main Street streetscape, although you do have those narrow right-of-ways I was talking about, we think there's a lot of opportunity still on what you can do. In other communities, this is Columbus, Indiana, they've actually taken the street and they've deleted the curbs, and it still serves as a street during normal business hours, but if they want to have a farmer's market or a festival, they actually have gates that they can close and shut the street down, and basically it becomes a pedestrian esplanade, and they can set up vending tents, food trucks, any number of things on either side of the street. And the street, like I said, still functions as any normal Main Street would. We're not taking cars off the road because we don't want to do that. Car traffic is important to the commercial success of a downtown. So this is just an image of what Main Street looks like today. You've basically got 2 travel lanes, 2 parking lanes, and you've got sidewalks on either side. Again, this is just removing the curbs. Basically, we maintain the parking lanes. Maybe at the intersections, we think about the idea of a bump out in the curb where we could do a stormwater planter, which is a way of filtering stormwater and taking some of that load off the conventional storm sewer. It helps cleanse water. It does a number of things that are environmentally beneficial. But then it also opens up opportunities. Let's say you take one of those parking stalls and you maybe there's a downtown dining establishment that really would like to have an outdoor dining area. Well, you can begin to think about maybe you have removable bollards. You can set up bollards during certain times, and you can cordon off an area where they can have some of those outdoor dining areas. And then this is the example where, okay, let's say we just, for a weekend or a day, we shut down the street and it becomes a festival space. So you can see how these events can begin to become accommodated within your right-of-way.
What we did in this, with the downtown plan, is we took some, in particular, some focus buildings that we wanted to draw attention to and strip it down to what the scope of work would need to be to revitalize that building. We looked at costs for those buildings. This is just an example, probably one of my favorite buildings downtown, just because of the history that still remains inside the structure. But as far as the kind of work that we were looking at, things such as masonry tuck pointing, and in this example, limestone cleaning, restoration of the historic elements such as the metal cornices and storefront, cast iron. You have a plethora of cast iron storefronts in your community that are, in my vision, I think they're under promoted. They're very few of them are featured or highlighted, and I think that this is a perfect example where just an introduction of new paint colors and new locations can give it a fresh appearance and draw attention to those beautiful details that you have in your town. We actually took six buildings downtown and did a more in-depth study of those. And the hope from our perspective is that those examples can be utilized by other building owners and say, you know, I need to do similar kind of work. It's going to cost about this much money. So it's a good comparative opportunity on the focus buildings that we selected. So, one of the things that I found most interesting is I've been fortunate to be able to be here a good bit of time. And one of the things that I did is I came down in the middle of the evening, it was early spring, and I took a photograph downtown. One of the things that we talked about with the Arts and Entertainment District is how can we bring some new life to the downtown? I think you can see the photograph on the right versus what the potential might be. That's your downtown in the evening. And you can see how barren it is and how foreboding it looks because of the lack of lights. Now you do have a few participating building owners who light up their storefronts and display their merchandise well in the evening and illuminate the upper levels. But as you can see, it's pretty dark downtown. So there's not that real draw. So what we're driving for is, how can we begin to educate and encourage business owners to look at their signs, how to illuminate their signs, be sympathetic with the historic structures they install, the new building identifiers, and then also how can they do some storefront illumination that not only promotes their product, but also opens up the streetscape and make it more inviting in the evenings. So I think those are a couple of opportunities that we were trying to promote.
And then, go ahead.
I talked about this before, but it's important to have people living in the downtown and living near the downtown. And that really won't happen by itself. You want to increase the downtown lofts, apartments, and frankly also hotel rooms, because you don't have a downtown hotel. So that the development of one of those would also be a great idea. But in order to do that, you need to really be strategic in making sure that your zoning ordinance is not providing disincentives, but incentives for that type of development. And you want to make sure that the parking requirements for say housing downtown isn't too rigorous or providing any disincentives for people. You want to make sure that there's a mix of housing, and certainly you want it to be affordable. You want to look at your current permit and impact fees and make sure that they're at a level that, you know, you want to cover the cost of public services, but you don't want it to be punitive. You want to be competitive with other communities there. And you want to create a robust marketing strategy. So you want to sell your downtown. And one of the things we were going to talk about a little bit too is rebranding the community. And certainly that's part of your marketing strategy. You know, changing the perception of not only of people outside Vincennes, but people within Vincennes of what the downtown is. You have to really, it begins with having your own perception of the downtown as positive and thinking of it as a place full of possibilities, and then finally a place of achievement where you want to go. Form a downtown liaison, that is groups that connect to the downtown, so the decision makers and various commissions are connected with what's going on, and there's a broader vision that's commonly understood.
One of the other projects was create a downtown urban park. Downtown urban parks are an economic development tool. They become space that you can program, and there are some key components that we talk about when we talk about a downtown urban park. This is that Gimbel's Corner that I referred to earlier. This is at the intersection of 2nd and Main, and this is a before shot of what it looks like today, and a suggestion of what it could be, kind of an artist rendering. But what we're suggesting here is a gathering lawn. I mean, just open space that can serve as, there are temporary ice rinks that can be set up in the winter, and people think there's no way people are going to skate in the winter in Indiana, but people do it in Rapid City, South Dakota. They do it all over places and climates much colder than Indiana. So we've seen it work, and we know it's a potential strategy for bringing some life into your downtown, but also having some opportunities for performances. So what you see kind of in the right-hand sketch is what you see in the clamshell looking item is kind of a performance stage where you could have a musical event, a poetry reading, any number of things. We have shaded seating, we have a spray plaza. These are just items that we know activate spaces and that draw people. We want to draw people of all ages, from 2 to 90 or below and above. And the other thing that they do is these parks activate the buildings that are around them. So what we're suggesting is, you know, we're not trying to say that you need to get this building or you need to do this, but we're saying that once you do something like this, the real estate around it is going to become more valuable, and there might be opportunities where you take a blank facade and you put a retail storefront in that blank facade, or you create an entrance in there, you put a cafe in there. These projects really are economic development tools. One of the other projects we've suggested is that you really need to think about your riverfront and how do you connect people to it. So we think that there's a large amount of property along your riverfront that is underutilized, and it could be better utilized for potentially a conference center, additional retail. The First Street itself could become a connector that would connect the university all the way over to the National Park in your downtown. And get people out on the river. So we're suggesting, we can't see over it, and this is a stretch, but what if there were a pier or something that you actually walked out and looked down over the river, a pedestrian element that actually engaged people with the river and gave them some physical and visual connections to it. We want to talk about, you know, how do we coordinate and streamline existing programs, because you guys have offer a lot of things in your downtown, but people don't always necessarily know how to use them. So how do we make these programs more user-friendly? Can we create one source where people can go to find out what they need to do to invest in their building or do any number of things. We want to think about how do we establish funding for downtown restoration. And again, this kind of goes back to the previous point about how do we bring all those programs together in one source that's easy for people to understand. But we also need to establish a leadership team, define our goals and objectives, decide what is allowable and what's not allowable, and then make sure we reward people who do take advantage of the programs and make the best use of them. We want to look at your existing design guidelines. Design guidelines are very important, but they always should be looked at and revisited. And so we're suggesting that you take a look at those and make sure that is everything appropriate? Is it encouraging everything that you want in your downtown? Is it encouraging housing? Is it encouraging first floor retail? All of those items. We also think we've heard a lot about parking while we've been down here during our study, and we don't want to remove any parking because we know parking is important to the vitality of a downtown. So this is what came to us when we saw this example, and I'm trying to remember where this is at, and I can't remember off the top of my head. But what you're looking at is a parking garage shrouded with retail on three sides. We thought that this would be an awesome opportunity in your Vigo Street parking lot. We're not saying go out and do it today, but we're saying if all of Main Street becomes full and the riverfront redevelops, now you might have a case for a parking garage. Now you might have a case to look at that Vigo Street parking lot a little harder, and it would be the perfect place to encourage some new mixed-use development. Imagine coming across that bridge from Illinois and seeing that instead of a large expanse of parking lot of asphalt. It would just be a great gateway into your community. And again, this is that Vigo Street parking lot as it is today, and just an idea. It's not, this architecture isn't necessarily what it belongs in Vincennes or what's appropriate in Vincennes, but just the idea that a parking garage doesn't have to look like a parking garage, and it doesn't have to be all parking garage. And again, thinking about how we connect Main Street to the river, this kind of plays off that riverfront development, but take Second Street and bus around the one blocks that would connect over to the river and really play those up and think about what the riverfront could become. So, you know, we don't want to lose anything. We still want to maintain the natural beauty of the Wabash River. We still want to keep the trail that you guys are currently planning, both the wet and the dry trail. But how do we begin to think about new development along the river that could encourage economic reuse in your downtown? And also, you see the idea of this river pier where you could walk out and look down over the rear river. And then finally, the last thing that we've suggested is you guys have a multitude of natural and cultural features and historic features in your downtown. Why not play that up with an arts and entertainment trail? And when I'm talking about a trail, I'm not just talking about signs along existing sidewalks. I'm talking about creating an identifiable trail, kind of like what Indianapolis has done with the Indianapolis Cultural Trail, where it's a branding opportunity. And when you're on that trail, you know you're on that trail. It's visually distinct, it's consistent. And so just think how awesome it would be to create a loop through your community that hit on all the features you have. And that's not to say that we've hit on all of them, because most of these trails have multiple loops or multiple legs. But the routing we've shown here actually does connect to the national park, connects to the hospital, connects to the university, connects to the historic sites, connects to the Red Skelton Museum, connects to a lot of different assets within your community. And with that, that ends our formal presentation to you. So we really wanted to give you guys some time to ask us questions. I know we haven't given you much, but we're here to listen and take any feedback you may have.
Do you have any questions, comments, concerns? You guys have anything?
No? Is it time the public would raise?
Yeah, this is the time for the public to say anything they want to say in regards to the plan that's been presented as it was presented here.
Have you inventoried the current businesses? Do you recommend certain gaps to the businesses that might be typically found downtown?
Yeah, we did a retail performance and leakage study, and I won't go into all the details, but the point was to look at things within 1 mile radius, 10 mile radius, and 15 mile radius, and then we looked at where money was being spent in those areas, the money that's being spent within the community from those areas, and then the money that's being spent outside the community. So for instance, I can't remember exactly, but there's a gap, say, in people buying jewelry. There's like $1 million difference or something in there. So and there's a number of areas there where there's leakage, where it could be an opportunity for someone that wanted to pick up a business. They could see the people who live in what I would say the area that could reasonably be relieved to shop in Vincennes. That they could pick up some business if they were to focus on being maybe more aggressive in terms of marketing or they want to start a business. And if you also go there, you'll also see some areas in which there are surpluses. In other words, where more people from outside are buying than from within. And so that's a good sign, because that also helps to sell your community. It shows that there's some businesses that are extraordinary businesses that are attracting people from the outside to come in. So it's mixed, and that's pretty usual. But there are definitely some opportunities there. There are gaps. And so if you look in the study, you'll see that retail performance and leakage study, and it'll point those things out. Did that answer your question?
Yes.
So So in some of your designs there, I mean, did you ballpark any figures, I mean, like the Gimble Corner?
Yeah.
Park, very attractive idea. Do you have any rough idea what the cost might be for something like that?
And it all varies on the type of materials that are used and everything else. So we gave a range. And we've done several of these parks, and I would say on the low end, you're probably looking around $2 million. Mm-hmm. And on the high end, the sky's the limit, but you could, you're probably between $2 and $4 million, I would guess.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
One of the things, I didn't grow up in Vincent, so I have kind of an outsider's look at it from coming here. Although my husband and I really love this community a lot, and used to call the nice things that happen here Vincent's moments. So I don't want to say this from a perspective of not appreciating the community, but it seems to me that so often I would see things on Main Street or businesses on Main Street, and there wasn't a sense of, I'm not sure I want to say design, sophistication, I don't know quite what it was, but it wasn't the kind of place that I would say, oh, yeah, I want to go in and see what's in there. And I felt that there needs to be some sort of way for people to either learn how to do that. You know, you go to some communities and they invite you to come in. I mean, they invite me to come in, so I don't know whether other people get invited. But it seems to me that that's a real lack that I see. And how do you...
Marketing your business.
Yeah. Well, it isn't just marketing the business, it's marketing what people will find there or what their expectation is of what should be there. And that's, to me, that's one of the major concerns, is how do we, I don't know if I want to say upgrade or lift our level a little bit, I don't know what quite I want to do.
We're in marketing.
Well, we talked about the code, you know, we talked about co-working space, it's flexible space for entrepreneurs and small business people to meet and discuss ideas, that would be a perfect topic for co-working space. We talked about, you know, how do you make your store more inviting to pedestrians, you know, shoppers, and how do you work to complement that with the other shop owners in the block, and then how do you work to take advantage of any streetscape improvements that are going on along with, say, the arts entertainment theme? How can you help your business by virtue of say, capitalizing on that branding and the development of the trail? Yeah, I would say that would be the perfect sort of activity for a co-working space.
I'm going to add something too. So with developing the co-working space, there's also, we need provided some recommendations on how to build that entrepreneurial environment in downtown. So with the co-working space, there would be other events also that would be helping all those businesses to develop and improve, whether it's their streetscape or, you know, design inside. And with the arts and entertainment district and with all the events, so one of the things to make all these projects work is actually programming from infant and from the community. With all the programs that are going to be happening, people are going to be walking more along the street, so more walkability brings in more shoppers, and maybe it will catalyze this interest.
Well, it seems to me, I guess I've only been about 25 years, not quite, but at any rate, it seems to me that I have seen so much money that I think has been wasted, because people come and they say, oh, well, I love this, and they say, I'm going to start a store, and I don't think that anybody, I don't want to generalize, but I think that often people don't do any business planning or sort of like, is it needed? Will it, you know, survive? And so people put money into something, and 5 years later, it's gone. And to me, that's what I see has been a tragedy, that people are spending money, but but it isn't long-term viable. So it's just been my observation.
Anything else? If there's nothing else, we'll close the hearing at 6:10. That's it. Yeah. Yes.